Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And this will likely be a very unique edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I may take some questions, I may not. But this is a broadcast that I want to devote to the subject of orthodoxy. Orthodoxy, not just with a small o, but orthodoxy with a large O. And to help me do that, I have a special guest in studio. I was on Facebook Live a little earlier on today, and we're having a little fun with that, talking about this particular broadcast and why this broadcast is important for you to listen to. So often, we don't think about our paradigms, we think with our paradigms. And this show, in some sense, I think, is going to help you come to grips with something maybe that's foreign to you, something that you don't know about, and some may say, I'm pretty sure I don't like it, but this will give you an idea of what's really going on with the second largest body within Christendom. Again, we may be taking some calls on today's live broadcast, but my special guest is Frederica Matthews Green. She wrote a book, and you can find it on the web at equip.org. Welcome to the Orthodox Church, an introduction to Eastern Christianity. We know a lot about Western Christianity, but what do we know about Eastern Christianity? And when we encounter Eastern Christianity, why is it so foreign to our sensibilities? I'm going to be talking to Frederica about all of that and much, much more as the broadcast continues. I want to mention that there was an article on me and the Christian Research Institute in the, I was going to say Orange County Register, in the Charlotte Observer Insight section, front page, the article done by Tim Funk, and I got to tell you, great guy. I think a giant in his field. He is still committed to doing journalism. Do I like everything you wrote about me? Probably not. But I tell you, a guy with real journalistic capability, capacity, and integrity. And so I'm very, very grateful for that, particularly in an age in which people think journalism is completely dead. The headline is Bible Answer Man Finds Peace, Loses Listeners. That's a pretty interesting headline. Bible Answer Man Finds Peace, Loses Listeners. And I think this is all about two major, storms that have collided in my life. The one storm being my conversion to orthodoxy, the other being the storm of cancer. And so I'm facing both of those issues, and both of those issues have had an impact on the ministry, and I think in a very, very good way. We're going to talk about all of that and more again on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Welcome to the Orthodox Church, an introduction to Eastern Christianity. For those who support the ministry, we have other resources available. I'll try to get to that later on. But right now, I want to talk to my good friend, Frederica Matthews Green, who has this incredible capacity to take very complex issues and make them understandable. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Hank. It's great to be here. I look at your smiling face and I think what a joy it is to know you, and how hard it is to believe that I met you for the first time less than 2 months ago. And we just hit it off like a house of fire. We have a lot in common, and the love of the Lord is certainly the most important thing that we have in common.
Shortly after we met, I found out that I have cancer, mantle cell lymphoma, and that has changed my life in many, many ways. But I oftentimes tell people that if I had not ordered my life around the divine, there's no possible way that I could be today enveloped in a blanket of peace and joy.
That's so true. And in that phrase, ordering my life around the divine, I'm sure many listeners think they don't know what that means. Perhaps it sounds like it could mean several different things. But it's as if you broke through to a whole other dimension of Christianity, that you had dedicated your life to study of the scriptures and to careful thinking and to careful theology. And you had done that so thoroughly. And it was like the Lord just turned on the lights and everything went technicolor, that there was a new richness to it. It didn't reject what you had known and believed before, but it brought it together as if setting it to music. And I do think you're right that without the preparation and without this new dimension of beauty in your faith, perhaps you wouldn't have been able to have as much peace as you do. As you say, we met on a Saturday, the day before you became an Orthodox Christian, and you told me, yesterday I got a phone call from my doctor, and he used the word cancer. And you never expected that. You thought you were just having tiredness, and you didn't know why. So that was Friday, Saturday. Sunday, you were chrismated, and Monday, the internet melted down. I was here with you then, too. We had just met, and it made me feel so bonded to you, as if you were a lifelong friend.
A lot of people, when they hear the word orthodoxy, they're not sure what it is, but they're pretty sure they don't like it. Within a week of being chrismated, I lost between 100 and 150 radio outlets. NRB television canceled me, and on it went. And in most cases, when I try to explain to people what orthodoxy was, there seemed to be a really strong resistance, that this was sort of a works-based religion, that this was a religion of mysticism. It was a religion of icons where you're worshiping dead people. A lot of misconceptions with respect to orthodoxy.
So many of those misconceptions, I think, go back to some of the mistakes of medieval European Christianity. There was some very fervent faith, there were some beautiful people, but there were also some mistakes that are very distressing, of course, especially to evangelical Protestants today to look back at that. And I guess the starting thing I'd want to say is that the medieval European church is not the early Middle Eastern church. When we're talking about orthodoxy, we're talking about the faith that began in the Middle East, in the Holy Land, and then spread into Africa and spread up into Asia Minor, in the first century, second century, third century. It was a church that was implementing the scriptures, that was writing the New Testament, loving the New Testament, embracing the New Testament, and using that as their lantern and their guide, as they also learned how to live in a situation where they're being persecuted and killed. There were things that weren't specifically addressed in the New Testament that they had to meet up with. And so that is the church that is the Orthodox Church. It is the church of the first centuries, in the Middle East, in Asia, in Africa, and gradually spreading into Europe. And what the church was 1,500 years later, 2,000 years later in Europe and then America, is not the same thing. So if we can persuade people of nothing else, just hesitate and think maybe my prejudices might not apply. It might be something different from what I'm expecting.
A lot of people think that when you go to an Orthodox church, what you're going to experience is sort of a repetitive, dead liturgy. Week after week, you repeat the same liturgy. They don't see a progression in the liturgical calendar. And they think, how in the world can that supplant a fiery sermon and great music. How in the world is this repetition good for us? Talk about the spiritual gymnasium.
Yes, yes, it's a workout. And I think as you're talking about it, it's the same week after week. It makes me think about a toddler and how good night moon is the same night after night after night. But the child wants that. There is something about repetition that can be beneficial. We are not to use vain repetition, as the Lord said. And then he said, don't pray like that. Pray like this, Our Father. And most Christians have said the Our Father more than once in their lives. You know, that's a prayer we do repeat. We feel invited to repeat. When a husband says to his wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, she doesn't say, I heard you the first time. So there's a way in which repetition can be deepening. It can be like a spiral that goes higher and deeper and releases and reveals more beauty as you go. So when we come into an Orthodox church, we see vestments, and we hear chant, and we smell incense, and hear bells, and it's pretty much how God told Moses he wanted to be worshipped. The same instructions that God gave to Moses as they were wandering in the desert when the Hebrew people were still refugees. He said, take gold and hammer gold. Make the inside of the ark, line it with gold, even though nobody else would ever see that. God wanted to be worshipped with great beauty, and with priests who are in vestments, and with incense. There's not a place in the Bible where formal worship is not accompanied by incense. So what you will see if you go in an Orthodox church is going to be a lot like the early Christians tried to have worship. They were used to worship in the temple, and that was beautiful and gorgeous worship, and that was their goal. That was what they wanted it to be like. And the church has continued that all these centuries. You know, sometimes you can't afford a lot of beauty, but that's your goal, because that's what God deserves, as much beauty as we can pour out at his feet.
You walk into an Orthodox church and suddenly you're met with smells, incense, mm-hmm. You're met with sounds, bells, you're met with a kaleidoscope of color, icons everywhere. We sometimes think about Christianity in a very anachronistic way, as though what we have now with light bulbs and electricity and iPhones was true of the first century. In the first century, people had to learn a different way. The gospel had to be, as it were, perpetuated in pictures.
That's right. That people who were... of course, most people were illiterate then, and even those who were able to read could hardly afford to own their own Bible. You think of what it would cost you today if you asked a calligrapher to make you an entire Bible. So there was usually one big Bible at the church that was read aloud. When you experience the Bible, it would be in the midst of a worshiping community. It would be in a context of worship and of awe, and that Bible reading would be surrounded by other Bible readings, other prayers based on Scripture, hymns based on Scripture, in this context of beauty and adoration of the Lord. So it's a different way to experience the Bible than just as a book that you're reading all by yourself. And because those people didn't have their own Bible and weren't able to read, most of them anyway, one of the ways they supplemented is what we still do with children, which is there's a picture Bible. When my children were little, I had a Bible with pictures in it. They couldn't read the words, but they could look at Jesus. They could see Jesus blessing the children. And just like that, you go in an Orthodox church today, and if you go in an Orthodox church 1,200 years ago, the walls are covered with Bible pictures so that you can be reminded of those stories. If you start thinking about Jesus met the woman at the well, but you have not going to hear that scripture reading again for 6 months, you can go look at that picture, and it can remind you of the story. So that's what the icons are there for. They're there for teaching. They're there to enhance our love of the Lord. I had a little plaque with a picture of Jesus when my son was young, and I would say, this is Jesus, and Jesus loves you, and we would kiss the picture. And that's exactly what people do in an Orthodox church today. They love Jesus, and so they kiss his picture.
Dr. Frederica Matthews Green, her book, Welcome to the Orthodox Church, An Introduction to Eastern Christianity. It's a... It's a wonderful read. It has had a tremendous impact on me and many others around the world. I do want to emphasize a book that I want to put into your hands. It's called Onward by Russell Moore, a Southern Baptist. And there's a quote in that book. I don't know if I'll be able to get the whole thing in, but he says, "The body of Christ is wide and broad and deep, and each tradition brings with it some aspects that bless the others and the wider world, even when we disagree with much else." And he goes on to point out, "I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I wouldn't want for a moment to be without Chesterton or Aquinas. I'm not Eastern Orthodox, but my very life is shaped day by day by the Nicene Creed." And Russell Moore goes on, and he shows that God has his people everywhere, and today God's people need to engage the culture without losing the gospel. And that's why I'm recommending Onward for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I'm going to be back with an intriguing conversation. Frederica Matthews Green.
Moralistic therapeutic deism is colonizing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within. Yet Rod Dreher believes that by rediscovering the past, recovering liturgical worship and asceticism, centering our lives on the church community, and tightening church discipline, we will, by God's grace, again become the peculiar people we should have always been. To equip you in addressing the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort, read Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. To receive your copy of The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And this, as you were just mentioning, is one of the most important months of the year for us. It is the month in which we ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. So we're asking you, if you have some of the Lord's resources, to invest them, not to us, as it were, but through us, touching the lives of people all over the world. This is a ministry that reaches out not only through our publications, through our broadcasts, but in a very tangible way, it is a ministry equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. Again, invite you, as the Lord leads you, to stand with us prayerfully and financially this month. Important to be generous. This is the end of our fiscal year. This sets the tone for the rest of the year. So you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Dodge sort of a bullet, I suppose, if you're speaking in secular terms. I didn't even think I'd be in the studio today because I thought I needed another blood transfusion, but somehow or other, my red blood cell count was high enough today, so I didn't need a transfusion. So here I am in studio doing what I love to do, and on top of that, doing it with a dear friend. I mean, I feel that we have been connected by the Lord in sort of a supernatural way. And we're talking about orthodoxy. We don't talk about it enough. I mean, for most people in the West, orthodoxy is Catholic-like.
Yes, yes.
They don't have
Catholic
any context.
Heavy.
Yeah. So talk about the Catholic heavy. Talk about the from your perspective, church history. I mean, people are a bit, I'm sorry for anyone this applies to, but a bit ignorant when it comes to church history. They don't understand the difference between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, and oftentimes don't understand that Roman Catholics and Protestants have more in common sometimes than Roman Catholics and Orthodox.
Yes, yes, it's been said they're two sides of the same coin from an Eastern perspective. To go back to the beginning, of course, there was a united church at the very beginning, and I mean, say if you use your left hand, make your thumb be Rome, but then each fingertip is Constantinople, Antioch, Jerusalem, and Alexandria, the big cities of the ancient world. And you could draw a line straight down between your thumb and the other four. In Rome, they spoke Latin. They didn't speak Greek. The others spoke Greek. In Rome and in Europe, there was a slightly different, just a different culture, a different flavor to the culture, very orderly, very organized, everything that the Roman Empire was famous for. And these fingers, these fingertips over here in Asia and in Africa, it just had a more, oh, I always come back to the word organic. I think that's the primary difference between Eastern and Western Christianity, is in Eastern Christianity, there's a lot more sense of it being body-based and of it being a profound love of Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. Sometimes I think that the Western church closest to Orthodoxy might be the Pentecostal church, just because of that fervent love for Jesus Christ and the expectation that he is immediately present. He is present to us in every person we meet, in every molecule, that God fills this world and that we are coming to know his glory. As Habakkuk said, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So here's a little short version of history that over the first 1,000 years of church history, the church in Rome, finding itself beleaguered and attacked on all sides, the civilization falling and then struggling to rise again, one of the things that the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, had to do was to stress his authority and to stress his power, to stand as if he were another king or another emperor next to the other mighty earthly powers. And there were historical and political reasons why that was important. This was not the case in the East. The Eastern Roman Empire did not fall, not until the 1400s. There was stability, there was beauty, the gospel was being preached, the boundaries of the church were expanding and expanding. And so there wasn't a need for the church to act as if it was an earthly power. Time went by, and the East began to perceive that the West, that the Pope is making claims for himself, claiming that he is the boss of all of the other bishops. And that was not the way they saw it. They believed that every bishop is the authority over his own people, his own diocese. But there's no super bishop to boss everybody around. We have Jesus to be our leader and our guide, and we don't need a super bishop up above them. But it didn't really come to an open break. It was just sort of tacitly, the Pope made claims for himself, and the West did not really accept them. It came to a head in the 11th century over one of those turning points of history where everything changed because of one word. The word is the Latin word filioque, which means "and the Son." In the 4th century, the Nicene Creed, it proclaimed the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. But this one word was added in the West, the Father and the Son. The idea was a good idea, was to combat a heresy that was diminishing the significance of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is like going to boost his authority a little bit. But theologically, it had the problem that now it tipped the Trinity so that it's no longer the Father above the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now it's the Father and the Son above the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's significance is diminished. It was even said that that the Holy Spirit means the love between the Father and the Son. But that certainly makes him not a person. Two people can be in love, but the love is not a third person. So the East refused to accept that. They said the Pope did not have the authority to add a word to the creed, and they found fault with it theologically as well. This split between the East and West had been gradually coming on for centuries, and it continued to roll on and become wider. But historians tend to put a pin in the map at the year 1054, when the Pope sent a delegate to put a bull of excommunication on the altar in the church in Constantinople. So that was sort of the official break between East and West. Since that time, theology in the West continued to change. Of course, 500 years later, the Reformers saw many of the same objections that the Orthodox had and made their own split with the Church of Rome. The Orthodox Church does not have a mechanism for change, though. The Orthodox Church is guided by what the community believed in the first century and in the second century. They are under the under the guidance of, under the beauty of the scripture, as the community understands it. I guess every community, whether it's Lutheran or Calvinist or whatever, there's a community that has an understanding of the Bible that they prize and they cherish and that they believe is really true. For Orthodox, our community is the earliest community. And we claim an advantage in that these were people who were living in the Middle East at the time the New Testament was being written, that they, in fact, wrote. The early church were the writers of the New Testament. They were the original audience to receive it. And they were the authorities that recognized which books should be and should not be in the New Testament. So anybody who picks up the New Testament is actually acknowledging the wisdom and discernment of the early church. That has been the guide to understanding the Bible for Orthodox ever since.
Now, there are a lot of people that would say, okay, the Western Church has its Pope, but the Eastern Church has its Church Fathers, and they're a facsimile of the Pope. That's not true, is it?
No, that's not true. There's a saying that 100% of the Church Fathers are right 80% of the time, that the Church Fathers aren't always right, that they don't represent themselves. You know, they should not represent themselves. That the Church Fathers are the writers who are able to summarize what the Church has always believed. They are their authors, their spokespeople. They don't always get it right. Sometimes they have opinions of their own and go off in different directions. At their best, they're not reflecting what the Church Fathers teach. They're reflecting what they learn and worship. Everybody was formed by the experience of worshiping God. It's how you learn to live the Christian life, by listening to the scriptures being read and being sung, and by prayer, and by being immersed in a worshiping community of people who love the Lord and are striving for holiness, who want to be totally pure. That is the formation that is accomplished in worship and in the living worshiping community. The Church Fathers at their best enunciate that and express that, but they are not themselves the authority.
Frederica Matthews Green, again, her book, Welcome to the Orthodox Church. For your support of the ministry, happy to send you a copy. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I think it's about time that we had this discussion on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I've been doing this broadcast for 30 years, approximately 30 years. And I don't know that we've ever had this discussion on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I've been asked about orthodoxy on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I've given answers. This is the Church of the Seven Ecumenical Councils. It is the Church of the Ecumenical Creeds, principally the Nicene Creed, which I absolutely love. But we've never really had a discussion on history, and I think for a lot of people, there's a gap in their learning. And so I think this is a helpful thing to do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. Do remember, we have some incredible resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. Onward, by the great Southern Baptist Russell Moore, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. Also, Rod Dreher. If you've never read Rod Dreher, you just can't miss. Agree with him, disagree with him, you can't stop reading Rod Dreher. He's quotable. He's profound, he's pithy. This is one cool dude. He wrote a book called The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians Living in a Post-Christian Nation. Either one of those books available for those who support the ministry all this month. For those who give $100 or more, we'll send both books out to you. And do remember, this is the staple for those who join CRI's monthly support team. Whether you give it all at once or every month, that's up to you. But those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. When we come back from the break, we're going to pull out all the stops. I'm going to talk about the one singular factor that caused me to make a decision that has had enormous impacts on my life and enormous impacts on our ministry. We're going to be talking about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That coming up. Stay tuned, and the quote of the day.
In case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option and surrender is out of the question. That's why as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties, please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you the Benedict Option. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I want to remind everyone, before we go to the quote of the day, of a brand new podcast. I did a teaser. And then today, Frederica and I just sat down and talked, and we had it amplified. We had it recorded, and you can listen as though you're a fly on the wall to our conversation. We just had a conversation. We talked about all kinds of things, and I'll tell you what, it's one of the most stimulating conversations I have had in a long time. You don't want to miss it. And this is really what my podcast is. I'm talking to some of my closest friends, some of the brightest minds around. What I'm trying to get is their personal perspectives on life and truth. We say, truth matters, life matters more. So here's what I want you to do. Head to iTunes, subscribe to the Hank Unplugged podcast, and then stay tuned. The conversation with Frederica is going to be up probably by the end of the week. We don't want to overpromise and underperform, but I think we'll probably make that. The quote of the day actually comes from Frederica Matthews Green. I'm just going to call you Frederica from now on, or just F.
Just like Cher.
Just F, absolutely. I love this, and you could probably weigh in on it if you want, but here's your quote, your words.
Okay.
Here it comes. The devil's main purpose is not to scare us in a horror movie way. When we're scared of him, we're alert to him, and that might undermine his plans. Instead, he wants to quietly, subtly lure us into stepping away from God. And I suppose that's a way of saying from no longer ordering our life around the divine.
Yes, yes, that's right. If we could only see that the Lord is life, how could you order your life around anything else, that we need to cling to him? And the evil one is always wanting to pull us away from that. I think it's sad, it's tragic that so many Western Christians don't believe that the evil one exists, because then they just totally open themselves up to the damage he can do. It is better to be aware that our enemy, the evil one, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, that we must stand firm in our faith and resist him.
What is orthodoxy? I mean, if you take orthodoxy for you as a person, is it about a treasure chest that has lots of information in it and that's stimulating from that perspective? Or on a far more simplistic level, is it your relationship with Jesus?
Yeah. I was thinking about that during the break, how arguments about Christianity so often are about ideas and about propositions. And that for me, what orthodoxy is just that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him so much. And he is my life. I have told you my conversion story. I was calling myself a Hindu at that point when I went. I was a tourist. I went in a church in Europe, and I felt the Lord speak to me in my heart, and he said, I am your life. And that was 43 years ago, and I feel like I'm still reverberating like a gong, because that was truth. I knew that was the truth. All I want is to be closer to Jesus. I just love him so much. And what I found in orthodoxy is deep wisdom about how to do that. Deep wisdom about how to fast. Our Lord says they will fast in that day when the bridegroom's taken from them. Well, orthodoxy has a lot of experience about how to fast safely and wisely and as a community. I learned how to pray. You know, the Lord said, pray like this, pray the Our Father. I learned how to pray in a way that I can hear him, that it's not just a one-way prayer, that in the silence, in the beauty of the world, he speaks to me and he can direct me and he can guide me and he can guide my prayers for other people. I have found in orthodoxy a workout routine, you know, like your personal trainer might give you this workout routine, the one that is exactly right for me. And in 24 years of being Orthodox, I've just seen my prayer life take off. And he has become more and more real to me and near to me. It is what I always craved and I always longed for. And I don't think that I found a way to talk about this very well. You know, I sometimes go speak at colleges, Christian colleges, and I just see blank faces. And I don't know if they're thinking, well, if it ends up being like you, I don't want any of that, you know, just a funny-looking old lady. Or do they not believe me, or does it sound like self-delusion? Oh, I wish I could just convince people that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most beautiful thing. And if we could only draw closer to him, well, what do you know? Here's 2,000 years of hands-on experience, you know, trial and error, how to pray, how to fast, how to read the scriptures, how to worship. They've got it down pat and it works. And they create real saints everywhere in all times.
They're not innovators. They're perpetuators. Mm-hmm. You, what did you think the day after my chrismation? A lot of headlines, mm-hmm. Hank Hanegraaff or the Bible Answer Man walks away from the Christian faith. Given what you just said, what's your reaction?
That was such a shock. You know, I had packed, I was driving back to Baltimore, and I was just going to come by and say goodbye and see the office. And I found you and many of your family sitting in your office, and the photograph that the church, of course, is very happy to show. We had a chrismation yesterday, and it had just gone around the world. It was so hurtful to hear people say that you had left the Christian faith. It was so painful to have things like that said about you and without them listening to what you would say in reply. And in many ways, it looked like a sandcastle is falling into the sea. It was such a privilege for me to be with you that morning in your study and to pray with you and to pray with your family and to stand here where on the one hand, the doctor said you might have cancer and on the other hand, people are saying Hank is no longer a Christian. What a privilege to stand with you that day and every day since, to be praying with you and to be watching as the Lord has all these threads in his hand and we're going to see what the weaving is like at the end. It's scary, it's disruptive, it's exciting, it's beautiful, and I feel very privileged to be a part of it.
So I went to an Orthodox church for many, many years, almost 3 years before I was chrismated, and during all those years, no one had a problem with it, but when I was chrismated, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, to use the euphemism. But what I did in terms of being chrismated was based on one singular truth, and that is I believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and I could no longer live without it. This is not something that came out of thin air. I think in the time we have remaining, there's probably two things that could be said about it. One is there's a biblical precedent for it. Number two, a historical.
Yes, the biblical precedent, I think people think of Jesus saying, this is my body, this is my blood, and it seems like a very clear statement. It's hard to think he meant something else. But where that's explained is in John chapter 6. And I remember having a Protestant arguing with me about this, and I said, well, you know, what about John 6? And he said, what's John 6? So I'm surprised to find many people are not aware of it. When we have communion at my church, we chant the verses of John 6, and there was a visitor who became Orthodox just because of that, because he'd never thought about those verses before. But that's where Jesus says, unless you chew the flesh, not even eat the body, unless you chew the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. These are very hard words, and we can see that he meant it literally because immediately many of his disciples stopped following him. And Jesus says to Peter, will you also leave me? And Peter says, Lord, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter's not excited about this. I'm sure he's bewildered. He probably can't imagine what Jesus means. These are distressing words. I think we can't back away from the fact that what Jesus' audience heard him say was that it really was his body and blood. So we have that biblical precedent, which you can't deny. And then you have to look at the fact for 1,500 years, all Christians believed that we were meant to take that literally. So why does somebody think they have more wisdom than 1,500 years of Christian worship? I don't see how you can come up with a new theory of what those verses mean that far along. It has always been understood from the beginning as being really the body and blood of Christ. In a mystery, we don't have transubstantiation in Orthodoxy. We don't try to explain how it's done, but as the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. This is my body, then it is his body. It goes a long way to explain the power of Christian worship, traditional liturgical worship. Even if you don't believe it is the body and blood, pretend you do, just for 5 minutes. Think how you would feel walking into that church. Think how you would feel for an hour, hour and a half of worship as it's building and building to the moment you receive. And think about walking forward and receiving the body and blood of Christ. How would you feel about that? How would you feel the rest of the day? what honor, what a throne you would build in your heart for God. It's so beautiful. And that is what every Christian expected for 1,500 years. There is no reasonable basis for denying it.
And I would do it all over again. Knowing I didn't know what the consequences would be, but I would tell you that having mantle cell lymphoma now and being in for the struggle of my life, I mean, I certainly believe that through God's providence, I'll go into remission one day, but it's still a tremendous struggle. But I am going through that struggle not just by created energy. I'm going through that struggle by uncreated energy because only God is uncreated. And we don't have time to cash this out, but the ancients used to use many different metaphors. In fact, in the West, Augustine used a sponge and water. You put the sponge in the water, the sponge would absorb the ocean as it were, but the ocean was never the sponge and the sponge was never the ocean. A lot of metaphors that could be used, but there is a mingling within me of not only created energy, bios, but Zoe, uncreated energy, and that is giving me the peace that passes all understanding as I go through my own trial. Frederica, thank you so much.
We just started
the conversation
yeah.
and the show is over. But a podcast, I mean, we had an hour, we just talked, and it was wonderful. It was all that is captured, and if you subscribe on iTunes, you can hear it. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll go back to our regular format tomorrow, answering your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember that this is the critical month of the year for us. If you can stand with me prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. Used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom, because life and truth really do matter. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support. To make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.